The Moth Podcast is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Support for The Moth comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so that you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything. CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it, Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/moth. That's odoo.com/moth.
Welcome to the Moth Podcast. I'm CJ Hunt. At our live events, we open up the stage for people to share stories about their life experiences. Equality, tolerance, and a deep respect for humanity are among the Moth's deepest values. And today, we wanted to share a recent story that's reflective of those values. We're going to hear from Barbara Collins Bowie. Barbara shared this just a couple of months ago at a main stage show I hosted in New York City. The theme of the night was Give Me Liberty.
My brother and I were born and raised in Jackson, Mississippi during Jim Crow. In 1961, my brother got involved with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. He became a freedom rider. Well, I loved my brother, and I always wanted to do everything he did, but I did not know what a freedom rider was. But my brother was 19, and I was only 13. So this actually became a very serious movement for him, because the freedom riders were challenging segregation in interstate transportation across the South. And so they were the colored only, white only signs, and the separation in bathrooms and restaurants and water fountains and all of that. And this was very dangerous for them as well, because the Ku Klux Klan did not want this to happen. So they were getting beat up and arrested and all of that. Well, my young friends and I heard about the protest and the sit-ins. So we thought, oh, okay, we can do this and could have fun doing it. Because it wasn't that we didn't understand what was going on, but we would be able to go into restaurants and shops that said whites only. So, for instance, there was a restaurant in our neighborhood that we used to go to almost every day after school. But on one side it said colored only, on the other side it said whites only. Well, the colored side was kind of small. It had a couple of booths, a jukebox, we could put a nickel in there and hear our music, and a counter. And if we wanted to get something to eat, there was a window there with a doorbell. So we'd go up to that window. We could order hot dogs, French fries, and sodas on paper plates and cups. But as you're standing there at that window, you could see the other side. And the other side was big with lots of tables, white tablecloths and settings. And white people were seated and being served dinner. So this was wrong. This was how we were treated. And we understood that. So because when my mother would take us shopping for school clothes, the first thing she'd say to me is, Barbara, go use the bathroom. And I'm like, Mama, I already used it. Go use the bathroom again. And I didn't understand that. So until we were downtown one day in the store, and she had picked out a few items, and I had to use the bathroom. And she got very upset with me because she had to put those things back. We had to leave that store and go to a feeder street where there were colored businesses, use the bathroom, go back to the store, and start over again. And while we were in the store, she had to know my sizes because they would not allow us to try on clothes or shoes. And if you bought something that was too small or too big, they would not allow us to bring it back. So when we would leave the store, Mama would grab my hand. And I said, "Mama, I'm a big girl. You don't have..." "Shut up, gal." And when a white person would approach us, we had to get off the sidewalk and let them by. Well, Mama had to pull me off the sidewalk. And so I did understand what was going on, how we were being treated, and that it was wrong. I just didn't understand what the civil rights movement or what the freedom riders could do about it, because this was our lives. This was how we were raised. This was how it was. This was what we accepted, you know. And I didn't think that there was anything that could be done about it until several years later. One day I was coming home from downtown with my friends, and I was going up my street. My house was on the corner. So as I was walking up, everybody was saying, Bobby, you need to get home. Your mom got sick, and she was taken to the hospital. And so, first of all, I'm like, hospital? We never went to the hospital. Mama always had home remedies. So, you know, I ran home, and I tried to find someone to take me, and I couldn't. And so I ran up to the hospital. And when I got there, Mama was sitting in the waiting room, the emergency room, with a friend who had brought her there. And she was very distraught. She looked like she was going to pass out. And she was sweaty, clammy, and she had a cold paper towel on her head. And she said, "I'm trying to keep from vomiting again." And her friend told me, you know, she had vomited a wash pan full of blood. And I'm like, I didn't believe that. This is a wash pan, and it, you know. So I said, "Well, how long have you guys been here?" And he said, "We've been here since about 2 o'clock. And I looked, and it was about 5:30. So I went up to the desk, and I said, "You know, my mama's been here since 2. She needs to see the doctor. She needs to lie down." And the young lady said, very rudely, "We don't have a bed for your mother, and there are other people here who need to see the doctor before your mother." So all I could do was go and sit down and wait with them. And as I'm sitting there, I'm seeing people being called up to see the doctor. Now, some of them might have been there before me, but most of them were coming in after, and they were being called. They were all white. So about 9:30 or so, they called Mama. And I said, "Wow." I was glad. I said, "She can lie down. She'll see the doctor, taken in the treatment room." So we're waiting for the doctor, and the nurse came in with the wheelchair. And she said, "I'm sorry, we're going to have to put your mother outside the door for a while because we have someone else who needs to see the doctor." And I was like, "No, my mama's been here since 2 o'clock. She needs to see the doctor." Well, I'm a teenager, so they ignored me. And so when they went to get her up, she vomited. And she almost filled that room with blood. So now nurses and doctors are coming from everywhere. And she needs blood transfusions and all of that. And they took her up to the 5th floor. So my brother came, and we went up to the 5th floor looking for Mama. And as I was passing by this treatment room, I heard a burst of laughter coming out, and I looked through the little crack, and doctors and nurses, and I said, that's where Mama is, because no matter what was going on or whether she was sick or whatever, Mama always had something funny to say or do to make you laugh. And so they took her to 501, and we're waiting outside the room to go in to see her. I wanted to hug Mama. I wanted to say, I love you. The doctor came out, and he said, it's very late. We're trying to get her admitted. Why don't y'all go home and come back the next day? I don't want to leave. I want to see Mama. I want to say I love you, because we were a family who never said that to one another. I never remembered saying that to my Mama. But he wouldn't let us in. So we left. And the very next morning we came back, she was critical. So we were waiting outside her room again and waiting to go in and see her, wanted to say, I love you. And the doctor came out and he said, we're preparing your mother for surgery. And so we couldn't go in again. And so when they were rolling her out on the stretcher, I could see just a glimpse of her face between their bodies. And her eyes were swollen and red, and she had tears. And I just got this big, hard ball right in the middle of my chest. And we went down to the second floor waiting for her to come out of surgery. And we waited and waited and waited. And finally the doctor came out and he said, I'm sorry, your mother didn't make it. And I just burst into tears and I cried and I cried and I cried. I cried for days. But it was at that moment that I realized what that civil rights movement was all about. I realized why those freedom riders were challenging the colored only, white only signs and going to restaurants. And I even realized why we went in to do sit-ins and protest. This movement was about our lives. This movement was about equality. This movement was about our life and death.
That was Barbara Collins Bowie. Barbara was born in 1947 in Jackson, Mississippi. At the age of 13, Barbara took inspiration from her brother by joining the civil rights movement. She later became a licensed vocational nurse, a published poet, and today, Barbara continues to engage her civil rights journey through the Dr. Bowie Foundation Freedom Riders Passing the Torch, an effort to encourage future generations to use the stories of the Freedom Riders and maintain the pursuit of freedom, justice, and racial equality. Earlier this year, Barbara was also elected as the first Black City Councilwoman of Kirby, Texas. When we reached out to Barbara, she was moved to tears that we were going to use her story on today's episode. She told us how she hoped her story could be a reminder of how much we have to lose by going backward. That she, the Freedom Riders, and all the civil rights activists of those times had fought to get us so far, but that the effort to preserve their progress now relies on us. The night I heard Barbara's story on stage, I was shocked to remember just how recent segregation was. I'm a child of the 90s, so I grew up on black and white Eyes on the Prize footage of the movement. Everything in my elementary school classroom told us that Jim Crow was ancient history and that the civil rights movement was a battle that we won. But I think Barbara's story and the recent events in Charlottesville remind us that the struggle for civil rights never ended. That just like Barbara, we all have to keep fighting. Thank you for listening. From all of us here at The Moth, have a safe and story-worthy week. Take care.
CJ Hunt is a comedian and late-night writer living in New York. He's a regular host of The Moth and is currently directing a documentary on America's curious love affair with Confederate monuments. CJ was in Charlottesville at the time of the rally and counter-protest, and you can read about his experience and see video he took in an article he wrote for GQ. Find a link to that at themoth.org.
Podcast production by Timothy Liu Lee. The Moth Podcast is presented by PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, helping make public radio more public at prx.org.